आपूर्यमाणमचल प्रतिष्ठं समुद्रमापः प्रविशन्ति यद्वद् तद्वत् कामायं प्रविशन्ति सर्वे स शान्तिमाप्नोति न कामकामी। भगवद् गीता 2.70, वन ऑफ द मोस्ट वेल नोन वर्सेस फ्रॉम द भगवद् गीता एंड इट्स ऑल्सो विजुअली इवोकेटिव वर्स, अगेन ड्रॉइंग अ मेटाफर फ्रॉम नेचर। So in this section itself, 2.54 to 2.72, where Krishna is talking about the characteristics of Siddha Pragya, he has used several metaphors from nature. This is the third. The first was of a tortoise withdrawing its shell, 2.58. Then there was a boat being carried away by the wind, Vayur Navimambhasi, 2.67. And now here it is rivers entering into an ocean. Now, Krishna is answering in this section from 64 to 72, toward the end of the chapter. The question of Arjuna, how can a self-realized person engage the senses in this world? That means, while acting in this world, how can one stay unagitated and unentangled? Krishna answers with an example of how rivers enter into the ocean, but the ocean doesn't get agitated. So, apuryamanam. So, purna is full. So, apuryamanam refers to always being filled. Achala pratishtam. Still, it doesn't overstep its boundaries. So, the ocean doesn't flood over because of a river coming into it. Or many rivers coming into it also. Samudram apaha pravishanti advat. Samudram in the ocean. In this apaha, water pravishanti advat. When water pours into the ocean doesn't overflow its boundaries. Tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve. So similarly, kama yam unto this person pravishanti. They enter, all kinds of desires enter into that person. So, shanti maapnoti na kama kami. So, similarly, that person, sir, shanti maapnoti. Person obtains peace. Now, who is the person who attains peace? One whom, in whom desires enter, but they don't cause that person to overstep boundaries. So, in this case, there'll be moral, spiritual boundaries. No, and so that person attains peace. Shanti maapnoti na kama kami. Na kama kami is a very profound phrase which also illustrates alliterations. In fact, repetition of the same word in slightly variant forms. Kama kami means desirer. One who is a desirer of desires. For now, ocean, because of its largeness, because of its fullness with so much water, it can stay unagitated even when more water comes in. On the other hand, there is a small puddle or a small lake or even a pond into which a river comes up, then everything will get that will overflow and the nearby area will get devastated and the water will not stay in its limits. Similarly, now the ocean here refers to our consciousness. So when our consciousness is large and full, that means within our consciousness we are holding on to a larger reality. We are having a bigger purpose, big purpose to our life. And we are full with the fulfillment that comes from living according to that big purpose. Then the desires that come into our consciousness whenever we see any tempting objects, those desires won't distract us because we are ultimately pleasure seeking. And when we have a higher purpose that is enriching us, then lower desires won't trouble us. So, when we are in this world and when we observe objects of gratification or tempting, attractive objects, now those impressions will enter from those objects through our senses into our consciousness. We can't move around with closed eyes. But these impressions, which are like rivers coming into our consciousness, they will not disrupt us if our consciousness is like an ocean. If we are living for a higher purpose and that purpose fills us up as the ocean is filled with water, then we will no longer, will not be agitated by the entry of those titillating impressions. Now, we all have experience of this, that when we are filled with a purpose, say, even for example, a student has to study, tomorrow is the exam. And now, suddenly a friend comes and says that, hey, I got the latest movie that has been released just a couple of days ago. I got it on a pen drive. Come and watch. He says, no, I can't. I don't have time now. I have to study. The same student, maybe the exam is 3 months away or 6 months away, and is studying. The student is studying, and suddenly the friend comes and says, come on, watch the movie. He says, yes, why not? So what has happened? The same movie might be there. The same friend has come. It's the same time. But the difference is the exam has created a sense of purpose, an urgency that was not there, that is not there at other times. So just as when we are filled with any purpose, we are ready to say no to lower things, even if those lower things are pleasurable. The same principle applies to the highest purpose. Now, different things we can fill our consciousness with. We can make our consciousness oceanic by cultivating a sense of purpose which consumes our being, which pervades our consciousness. But these purposes, if they are just based on our subjective likes and not based on any objective ultimate truth, then those purposes themselves will not enrich us for long. So we may decide, okay, I want to become a software engineer in MNC. That goal may just fill me for throughout my education till I get a job. And once I get there, the goal is achieved, but then I find it is nothing exciting. And then I try to create a higher goal. Oh, I want to go up in the corporate ladder. Up, up, up. But then, this sort of purpose at a material level does not bring much higher fulfillment. And it turns out to be a chase after a mirage, which actually promises fulfillment but never delivers it. So, we can have material purposes for our life when we are in specific stages of our life. So, student can and should desire to do well in exams. A professional can and should desire to do well at to perform well at the job. And same with all our duties. But these purposes cannot and should not be let be made the defining purpose of our life. They need to be subordinated, integrated under a defining spiritual purpose of life. When we understand that I am a soul and I am meant to serve Krishna, and all the various duties and aspirations that I have in my life, they need to be subordinate, integrated with my service to Krishna. So, when our consciousness is filled with that defining purpose of wanting to serve Krishna, then our consciousness becomes strong and becomes truly fulfilled. So, Krishna has earlier talked about Yukta Sita Matparaha in 2.61. Fix your make me the object of the control senses. Fix all your senses on me. So that was, he was answering the question, what kim asit, how does a person sit? Now here, That same principle can be applied. When we are moving about, we move about not by this desire, because of this desire and that desire, but because ultimately we want to serve Krishna. And when service to Krishna becomes the defining, unifying, fulfilling purpose of our life, then whatever we do, that gets subordinated and integrated. And if it cannot be subordinated and integrated, then we eliminate it from our life. And when we work to serve Krishna, we get such a higher fulfillment. Our consciousness becomes like an ocean. And we are no longer agitated by lower desires, because we understand these are not important, these are not relevant, they are not going to be fulfilling. I can get far greater fulfillment by serving Krishna, so why should I fall for these trivial desires? And we will see that whenever we do not cultivate or hold on to that sense of devotional purposefulness, when we let our consciousness become empty, then our consciousness becomes like a puddle. And when the river-like desires come in, we get agitated and sometimes we fall because of those desires. So, we need to keep that purpose strong in our consciousness so that it fills our consciousness, just as an ocean is filled with water. And then we will come to say of nakam kami, one who is not the desirer of desires. That means external, from the external to the internal, sense objects may come in. So, kama, kami, the two words, kami refers to the desirer, kama refers to desire. So, that means desire comes in from outside to inside. That refers to kama. But kami refers to desire going from inside to outside. So, that does not happen. So, from outside to inside, desires may come, because outside there are objects that look desirable. But when I have a higher, more desirable purpose to my life, and I hold on to that purpose, then the entry of karma from outside to inside will not create a reciprocal desire from inside to outside, and it will not make me a kami. And when I don't become a karma kami, when I don't start desiring anything and everything that I see, but stay fixed in my purpose, then that purposefulness will fill me internally with satisfaction. And such a person who is satisfied with a higher purpose, ultimately a devotional purpose to life, such a person can be sashanti mapnoti. Such a person can attain peace. Oh, Arjuna. This is the essential way Krishna is telling Arjuna, you can attain peace by managing your desires, by fulfilling yourself internally like an ocean. Thank you.